In addition to rhetorical tropes, there are other points of comparison between Hitler and Trump. For example, it was enlightening to read in your book that Hitler gave out free radios. What was the purpose of that, and how does it compare, if you think it does, to Trump's Twitter activity?
Oh, well, that's a great question, Heidi. There was a breakthrough in 1931 in radio technology. Prior to 1931, radios were big, galumphing things because you had to have huge tubes so that the radios were large. In 1931, in Berlin, there was a breakthrough in miniaturization. You could make small radio tubes and small radios. And the Nazi Party was one of the first to recognize it. In Yad Vashem, in Jerusalem, in the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, there were two innocuous-looking green cubes, green plastic cubes, on tables. You walk past them because they're not very prepossessing. You would walk right past them. I stopped one day and read the card on the table, and the card said, "These are examples of the radios that the Nazi Party gave out in 1932, beginning in 32, in Berlin. And they were free. There was only one catch. One catch. They only received one frequency. And the frequency was Adolf Hitler's voice." And so this was an enormous technological breakthrough where a charismatic leader could speak directly to large numbers of people with no mediating institution. No editorial, no chance to get back. The words left Hitler's mouth and rattled around inside the heads of the people who were listening to those radios. And a steady diet of that every single day from a master puppeteer, I think, began to move people. And I thought to myself, is there a 21st century analog to those green plastic radios? And the 21st century analog, I said, oh my God, it's Trump's Twitter account. Because you have to recognize, he was one of the first to realize that politicians could communicate directly with a mass audience, going around the media, going around the press, speaking directly to the heads of the people who were receiving the information. And I said, that's the analogy. The analogy is the technological breakthrough that enables him to speak directly to 60 million people as though they are in a room with him, just the way Hitler was able to speak to 60 million people. Now, anybody can do it, but the thing that we have to acknowledge is that Hitler was a genius at it, and Trump is pretty damn good at it. At least for me, when I put together all the points of comparison, the use of Lügenpresse, the slogan, Hitler ran on a slogan in which he promised to make Germany great again. The slogan and the lying press and the misogyny and the racial dog whistles. I mean, this is a president who has managed to make hurricane aid to Puerto Rico into a race issue, because he finds the edge, he finds the racial edge in everything and divides us on that basis. So when you put that kind of similarity together with the technological breakthrough, then I said to myself, American institutions are going to take a pounding from this like nothing they have ever experienced before. I said, and it's about time for us to give those institutions a stress test to see how well they'll survive. And that's what my book is. My book is a stress test for American institutions and a series of recommendations for how we can reinforce those institutions.
The book is called When at Times the Mob is Swayed by law professor Bert Newborn.
Did both Trump and Hitler help or enable large corporations to cement their rule of power?
Sure, there's a remarkable comparison between Hitler's version of fascism, and fascism generally, but Hitler's version and Mussolini's version of fascism used corporations essentially as de facto governance structures. They actually governed through the delegation of enormous power to corporations, who then exercise that power to order the economy and order the way people worked. And so in a fascist regime, corporations really should be seen as an engine of the state. Volkswagen, for example, was a corporation that was chartered by the Reichstag and actually functioned as an organ of the state. After the Second World War, when reparations were being thought of, it was very complicated to deal with Volkswagen because they didn't know whether it was a private corporation or a government organ. And many, many corporations operated that way. Trump, of course, has, in the modern era, has empowered American corporations more than any other president that I can think about. He showered wealth on them with the tax bill. He's pulled away most of the restrictions that would protect the environment. He is hostile to anything that would protect workers against exploitation. And so we're living in a society now where corporations are empowered to create and exercise immense influence over how we live. And, you know, culminating, of course, Trump didn't do this, but the forces that Trump is unleashing did it. The Supreme Court then tells us that corporations can speak, and they have First Amendment rights just like everybody else. I hadn't realized that a corporation was going to move in next to me and just put its arm around me and tell me that it was my friend. I didn't know corporations were people, but the Supreme Court seems to think they're people. And they can speak, and there's no way that you can regulate that. And not only that, in the Hobby Lobby case, They went so far as to say that a corporation has a soul and can exercise religious freedom rights. So you've got corporations praying. You've got corporations, and by the way, praying in two ways, praying to their God and praying on the rest of us. The immense power of the corporate state is something that existed in both Weimar Germany and the United States. Now, again, I want to be very clear. The United States is not Weimar Germany. Weimar had no tradition of democratic governance. Germany, it was very thin. The Weimar Republic was imposed on Germany at the end of the First World War. It's unclear how much support there was for democratic governance in Germany ever during that period. And they were in the midst of the Great Depression. So they were facing massive economic problems. They were facing what was an unfair treaty. The Treaty of Versailles was an unfair treaty, and there was no real democratic tradition in Germany. So Hitler found it relatively easy to push the Weimar Republic over. No one is going to find it easy to push American democracy over.